Welcome to the Memoirs of Her podcast. This is your host, Indira Mondays, and tonight, the topic of discussion will be about how to overcome betrayal of any kind. So how many of us have been in a situation where you've experienced betrayal? I know I have, and I'll be the first to raise my hand. I've experienced cheating, gaslighting, the grass is greener on the other side, and backstabbing on various occasions. Although it hurts me too, I still learned how not to let it destroy the centerpiece of my core. Therefore, betrayal is a major offense capable of causing the most sensitive and sweet person, such as myself, to feel the complexity of consoling one's own pain and healing. However, what if I told you how you can transmute pain into power and be able to harness your joy again from a much wiser place, which is at the centerpiece of your core being? Understand, when someone decides to betray you, it was already a premeditated thought subconsciously in retrospect to their actions. The person would show signs regarding the lack of loyalty, morality, and integrity. So if not careful or insightful, we can easily overlook the inconsistencies with how they interact with you and what they really think of you. So in addition to that, to someone betraying you, these types of people value the superficialities of life and will choose it over real substances. So when someone is or about to betray you, it'll always be in disguise, deceit, or someone close to you love, which is why I think it hurts the most. These types of people will show you how much respect they have for you based on how they value and treat you. It is important to learn about social and emotional intelligence. Social intelligence is about learning how to manage multiple relationships we develop while developing interpersonal skills over time. So social intelligence is mainly about being aware of the behaviors, thoughts, and feelings of other people, while on the other hand, emotional intelligence is about learning how to be in control of your own feelings, your thoughts, and behavior towards others. So emotional intelligence is learning levels of temperaments, not taking the opinions or expressions of others personally. So emotional intelligence is about being able to control how you respond and interact with others in spite of them not being in the best moods and behavior towards you. Now, emotional intelligence isn't about you subjecting yourself to emotional or verbal abuse of any kind from others. Someone who is belligerently disrespecting you to your face does not need to be in your presence, in which you have every right to remove yourself from such attack. Lastly, emotional intelligence is about knowing when to set boundaries and keep yourself and your mental state of mind at peace. So, in closing, betrayal is an unfortunate and unexpected event capable of causing emotional damage or disturbances on behalf of the perpetrator, behavior and action towards the person who had trust for someone, what we call metaphorically a wolf in sheep's clothing. So it is someone who was never supposed to be trusted in the first place. So once again, tonight's topic is about how to overcome betrayal. Considering what I've shared with you, along with social and emotional intelligence and what it is and what it isn't, I want you to be able to pay close attention to the fact of how to take steps to overcoming betrayal, how to identify it, understanding, you know, the different types of betrayals and things of that sort. So this is key centered on betrayal in itself, because a lot of times we deal with that emotion erratically. You know, we deal with that event from different spectrums of our emotions, from anger, sadness, depression. And I'm here to just bring some clarity and shed some light on that on tonight as to what you can do. And hopefully you may get an epiphany on, okay, maybe that makes sense of what she said, you know? So the first thing that I want to talk about is understanding the dynamics of betrayal. Now, like I said, the key word here is betrayal, and according to Merriam-Webster, the definition of betrayal is classified as the act of betraying someone or something, or the fact of being betrayed. It is a violation of a person's trust or confidence of moral standard, etc. Okay, so it's basically, you know, someone just disregarding the trust factor for another person and just proceeding with harmful disclosure of information or treatment towards another person, which, you know, it's not a good feeling. So I'm here to shed light on the causes of betrayal. Now, the cause of betrayal is usually the perpetrator causing the offense. But sometimes, in most cases, even as an individual, you can betray your own self. And the classification for that will be called self-sabotage. Okay? And if you're a type of person where you know that you deal with habits and, you know, there's a pattern of you doing things that always go against, you know, you doing the right thing. Like I said, the key factor of that is self-sabotage. So I will basically recommend anyone who go through that is to develop a healthy trust for yourself and learn to forgive yourself and to understand that you have the strength and capability to overcome, you know, harmful habits that put you in a predicament where you're going to betray your own self through your actions and decisions and behaviors. Okay, so that's one of the causes of betrayal that we can do for upon ourselves. And that's why they say sometimes we could be our own worst enemy. So I wanted to shed light on that before just pointing at others who may cause the offense towards ourselves. Okay, now, a lot of times in most cases, you know, a person that is the offender, the perpetrator, they can cause betrayal through harmful disclosure of confidential information someone shared with them. It could be, you know, a one-on-one, person-to-person, or it can be employer to employee, or it can just be, you know, a company to a person, you know, or a person to a company, you know, breaching the company's information, or, you know, a company having it out for an employee and, you know, destroying their whole life. You know, it could be a numerous occasions where betrayal can happen, but that's one case where it could be one-on-one. And so sometimes it could be a group-to-group people, you know, betraying each other. You know, the list of betrayal and types of people can go on, but I'm just here to just identify the few, and especially the ones in which I've experienced one-on-one in person at times, and then I've also experienced employer to employee, you know, and it's not a good feeling. It's really not a good feeling at all. You might want to listen in on workplace bullying after listening to this show, and it shed light on what have I've experienced and, you know, the end results of it all. And if and when, if you guys want to, you know, share a comment or something like that, I'd be more than welcome to answer it and give the outcome of what happened in the situation. But I do encourage you to go and listen to workplace bullying so that way you can see what it's like. And of course, I will explain the aftermath of what took place as a result of all of that. But hey, to each its own. I always like to say that. But the cause of betrayal could be because of harmful disclosure of confidential information. And then it can come in the form of disloyalty. Sometimes it could be just in relationships, where it could be marriage. It could be man to woman in a, you know, a connection. And it could just be, you know, child to adult, adult to child, however way it is. You know, disloyalty can happen. Infidelity can happen in any form. Personal relationship, business relationships, people cheat as far as, you know, taking shortcuts. So anytime when someone is taking a shortcut and it's going to harm their partner, that is cheating. Same way how if someone is showing affection to someone other than the person that they with, that is cheating. Okay. you know, robbing a child out of their innocence, or, you know, tricking them is cheating, you know, in a sense, because you are extracting or withholding information from a child where you're supposed to be educating them and telling them something for their own good, but you are withholding the information because you want this child to have a certain mind frame, which is a form of manipulation and gaslighting. You know, you want them to believe a certain thing. So that is, in a sense, condescending, and it can cause a form of, you know, cheating when you're hiding information from a child for their own good, you know, or trying to raise them. I give you a prime example. A parent trying to help assist their children in, you know, applying for something, and they know that they need the parent's signature or something like that, and the parent will create a situation where they sabotage the child because they chose to do something else that was a priority over helping that child, knowing that that was a major importance for their signature on this thing for that person to succeed. That is something as far as cheating as a parent and cheating that child out of success, if that makes sense. Okay, so things like that are betrayal, a sense of betrayal and what it looks like. And like I said, gaslighting, you know, making someone believe in it's one thing, like it's a one situation or event, and it's really another. That's gaslighting a person, you know. And these are all forms of betrayal, you know, because when a person realizes that they've been betrayed or that they've been cheated out of something, or, you know, someone been disloyal to them or disclosed confidential information, it could be very detrimental to the person psychologically and emotionally. Okay. Another factor that I wanted to talk about is, what are the stages of betrayal? Now, according to Mindswell Psychology NYC, betrayal trauma is a type of psychological trauma that can occur after experiencing a betrayal by a person you trust. Okay, now these five stages of betrayal, once again, according to Mindswell Psychology NYC, along in addition to my input, I will make a statement towards, but the fifth is my perspective, but there are four stages of betrayal according to Mindswell Psychology NYC. And the first one being is shock and denial. Number two is pain and guilt. And number three is anger and bargaining. And number four is depression and acceptance. And from my perspective and my view of a stage of betrayal is acknowledgement and recovery. Okay, so these are the experiences that people may go through once they've known that they've been betrayed, as far as whether a person was disloyal to them, they was cheating, gaslighting, or self-sabotage, or harmful disclosure of confidential information disclosed. You know, these are the feelings that will occur in a person emotionally and psychologically, and it can be a detriment on their mental health. Not only just their mental health, but their physical health as well. And I've learned that in these stages, it can happen on various occasions. And it doesn't happen in the order of what have you, as I had listed it. Sometimes it could start with a person being depressed, you know, and having a hard time accepting what took place, but as a result of being depressed. Or sometimes when a person is in a relationship and they had a trust in a wife or a woman, and they find out that they cheating or having an extramarital affair, it can incite anger in the person and wanting to get revenge, or, you know, wanting to just, you know, feel entitled to reacting on their emotion of feeling violated because of their spousal infidelity and things of that sort. Now, I'm here to say that yeah, I'm not invalidating a man or woman or wife or husband feeling or feeling angry, but I am here to say that when you allow that anger to consume you and it causes you to think irrational and illogical thoughts, your emotion can be like a pendulum, a swing going back and forth, swinging back and forth, to where you're coming in and out of sanity and insanity, to where, you know, you might extract that anger as in wanting to take the person out because, you know, you just feel like you invested so much in this person your whole life and things of that sort, when it's really not that serious, in my opinion, you know. And I say that from the outside looking in, you know, because some people might look at it way differently. So like I said, it's my opinion. But what I would encourage is that it's okay to feel the anger, but don't allow it to mess up the centerpiece of your core. Because if that person loves you and really cares about you, they will not cheat on you. They will not do the things that they did to betray you. So it's like those things are that person's actions, their bad deeds. And because it's their deeds or whatever, and it may affect you in an emotional and psychological way, but at the end of the day, if you take ownership of your emotions, if you take responsibility of how and what you do, those things are what matters and what has more validity than anything that you can give to anybody. You know, or any type of investment you feel that you had in a person, you know. And I say that because you, if you haven't gotten to a place of having a peace of mind and get into that place where nothing that a person could do or say can affect you in such a way where, you know, it's shaking your core or making you feel like you gotta commit suicide and take them out too. You know, when you are rational about the situation and realizing that when you are with somebody that you gotta do things in measure, in increments, and understand that yes, family is of value, but it shouldn't be your whole entire world, if that makes sense, because they will be the reason for your insanity if you put so much responsibilities and emphasis on how you will receive and extract that love and that value from them versus what you can give as a person, an individual. How solid are you? How sane are you of a person that you can be addition to what it is that you want or value with so much, you know? So my thing is this, it starts from love, where you need to develop a healthy love for yourself. And understand that the love that you would give and would, you know, want in return is unconditional. Unconditional. Because too many times people place love and loyalty on in conditions. And that's where people go wrong in their relationships, their marriages, and how they see other people and interact with people. I think, in my opinion, and is now nowadays, and with technology, I think we're dealing with a lot of narcissistic people that have the tendency or may actually have that mental illness. We are dealing with those types of people where everybody just feel like it's just me, mine. And that's a sad mentality to have at the end of the day, truthfully. So when it comes down to the anger, it's not to invalidate any of these feelings, because psychological pain, emotional pain, is much worse than the actual physical pain that you can actually feel. And like they said, stress, when you feel that type of pain, it's like, it is equivalent to you actually being hurt physically, harmed physically, when a person go through emotional distress and pain, okay? So these things could, you know, vary in different stages, but it's at the expense of being betrayed, okay? So once again, those stages are shock and denial, pain and guilt,
anger and bargaining, depression and acceptance, and acknowledgement and recovery. Now, the reason why I say acknowledgement and recovery, because if you are someone and you say, you know what, I'm not going to take matters into my own hands, but I'm going to seek the help that I need to fully recover from this unfortunate situation. So when you acknowledge what happened to you, what took place, or if you are the perpetrator and you did it, you got to acknowledge what you did was wrong, okay? And for the other person, the victim, you have to acknowledge what was done to you and not be in denial about it. Like, sometimes people could be in disillusionment with what I would talk about. Sometimes you got to see things for what it is and then decide to go through a recovery stage. Okay? And that is my advice to those who either were the perpetrator or the victim. And a person who did the offense, acknowledge what you did wrong, realize how that can have an effect on a person, and then come to the conclusion that if it is in you to apologize, then by all means, you will want to apologize to that person, or, you know, try to make things right by going forward and not doing that to that person ever again. Okay? Or putting yourself in that person's shoes and how they feel could be a stretch. Now, the third discussion that I want to talk about is how to identify the effects of betrayal. Okay? And how you can identify that is through psychological pain and confusion, emotional instability, and as I mentioned before, disillusionment, where the person just can't believe what took place or what happened, you know, even though it was evidently right before their eyes, you know, just going through that phase. And then deflecting and relating betrayal to something you may have did wrong. A lot of times people will say, okay, what did I do wrong to deserve this? Or what did I do wrong to, you know, have this happen to me? And it's not that you did anything wrong. You know, the question you should be saying to yourself is, what did I do right to make this person be the way they are and continue to walk in that righteousness? Because obviously, if you've been right all along in everything that you did and you've done, and this person just slap you right in your face and do otherwise and betray you, at the end of the day, it's not you. And when a person say it's not you and it's them, it is them 100, 1000%. It's not you. It's not you. It's the person. Okay? You could be a good, kind-hearted person treating this person right, but they don't care. They don't appreciate it. And that should not affect you or change who you are as a person at the end of the day. Okay? So, when it comes down to deflecting, don't deflect on what you did wrong because of how they have wronged you. Don't deflect. Think about how good of a person you are and how much they don't deserve you. Think that way. Not what you did wrong. Okay? And then humiliation and shame is another example or way that you can identify the effects of betrayal when you feel humiliated and ashamed. I kid you not. Like, to be with someone for XYZ amount of years and they've been cheating on you all along, and you find out that they have another family somewhere else and living a double life. And if you are the wife of this person or the husband of this wife, and you find this out all late in life, that is humiliating. And it is shameful because it's like, I thought the love that we had was true. I thought the love that we had was real. So what was this all the time? What was this? Making you question the whole entire relationship that you've been with that person. Was the love even real at the end of the day? You know, it is humiliating on the behalf of the person who experiences the betrayal. Okay, it is. You know, especially when it's at the expense of no love, no loyalty. Okay? Now, lastly, I wanted to talk about how to overcome betrayal. And that's the key factor here of it all. And the first that you have to do to overcome betrayal is to avoid all negative self-talk. Avoid it. Okay? You know, don't beat yourself up. Because when you're alone and you're in your thoughts and you're by yourself and you're thinking, dag, I must be this. I must be a loser. I must be this, you know, that, or whatever the case might be. Whatever you're thinking inside your mind, you want to prevent the negative self-thought. Okay? You shouldn't have to equate a person's behavior, their thoughts, and their actions to who and what you are as a person. Don't do it. The second thing that you want to be able to do is accept the reality of the matter, as I've been stating all along, that, okay, yes, this is betrayal. Yes, this has hurt me. Yes, I am devastated. It's going to take me some time to heal and get over this. And then it's like you got to determine, you know, at the end of the day, what level of offense was it that this person caused? Because when you love the person unconditionally, some offenses you can't come back from. You can't come back from it. And it's caustic. So you got to say yourself as a person, can you live? Can you see yourself living without this person? Versus can you live with this person? Because if you can say to yourself at the end of the day, I can't live without this person. Not because they providing for you, because you can always find a means to take care of yourself. But what I'm saying is that you can't live without this person, because you know at the end of the day that you truly love this person, and you know that this person is not perfect, and you know that this person, you know that you know, and no disillusionment, that this person loves you at the end of the day. And you know that, okay, yes, this person betrayed you, but maybe it was only in the second degree of offense, right? And you have to restore your trust back for that person. That's a whole different type of ball game and ballpark as far as, you know, the offense, and you still loving that person and want to work on the betrayal and talk about the betrayal with the person that you love, and then go through the recovery stage with that person if you feel that you can't live without them, okay? Versus if you could live with them, because of course you're living with them at the end of the day and you see how they are, you see how annoying they are. But the question is, if they were gone, could you live without them? And if the love is that deep, then you work on it. You recover from the betrayal together. Work as a team is not going to be easy. However, if the offense is like in the fourth and fifth degree, oh no. It's time to take action and put your foot down and set boundaries, in which I would talk about. Sometimes, like when I talk about those caustic situations, you can't come back from it. You can't come back from it. Sometimes you need to just cut the cord and leave that person to be, to their own devices. And you let them go, live their life, and you go live your life, even if it means at the expense of a divorce. Because it doesn't make sense to be with someone you don't love. Someone who you feel at the end of the day, not only could I have lived with, but someone who I can live without. Because at the end of the day, I don't like this person. I don't love this person. And if you don't like or love the person that you are living with, you don't need to be with them. Because then that hatred, that dislike is going to turn into hatred. And that hatred is going to turn into rage. And then that rage is going to turn into wanting to take that person's life. And it shouldn't have to get to that point, is what I'm saying. Okay? So it's best to part ways. Let that person go live their life and you go live your own. But go through your own recovery, even if you need a therapist or hire another therapist. And know that it is someone that's out there that's for you, that is special, that understands and value trust, that value things that of substance. okay? Because sometimes we meet people in our life that are just karmic mates. They're not our soulmate. They're not our soul twins. But these are people who we have subtle mates with, karmic mates with, and we just don't have that sense of growth or aspiration, right? So the next thing that you want to be able to do is learn to forgive but not forget. And that's how you be wise in your next phases of life. And then the fourth will be to develop healthy boundaries with yourself and with the other person, especially if you're going to work on things. But if you're not going to work on things and you're in the process of separating and detaching yourself, then you want to be able to develop healthy boundaries with the person. Okay? And lastly, focus on mental, physical, and emotional growth and stability. And that's how you will fully recover from betrayal. Okay? And with that being said, I thank you all for listening to the Memoirs of Her podcast. Bye-bye.